Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. America has long been plagued by a shortage of affordable housing for people of low and average incomes, but over the past few years, that shortage has turned into a fully fledged crisis. Here in Raleigh, for example, rent prices have risen by 21.7% just since last spring, and the median price of a two-bedroom apartment has now soared to $1,540 per month. Fortunately, we're not without viable policy solutions to the affordable housing shortage at the national, state, and local levels. And in North Carolina, no one does a better job of cataloging and advocating for those solutions than the executive director of the North Carolina Housing Coalition, Samuel Gunter. And as Gunter made clear when I caught up with him this past week, the need to support programs like low-income housing tax credits and a bipartisan proposal filed by a pair of North Carolina representatives known as the Lifeline Act, particularly in the aftermath of the pandemic, has never been greater. Well, Samuel Gunter, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be back.
It's been a while since we've chatted. Obviously, there's so much going on in the world of housing these days, both in terms of the challenges that are posed for average families trying to survive and afford housing, and in just in terms of growth in housing development, lots of legislative and policy issues that are up front. I guess right now, the thing that sort of stands out to all of us as we sort of just stand back and watch is that rent prices have really been soaring. We know that housing prices have been soaring for people who are actually trying to buy homes. I was looking at a statistic that showed that the median price of a two-bedroom apartment in Raleigh is now over $1,500 a month. Huge growth in the cost of affordable housing. How should we be coping with this? How are we coping with this huge change in the housing landscape, both here in North Carolina and around the country?
Yeah, it's a struggle. And you don't have to be an expert in housing or even be paying attention all that much to understand that the prices are out of control right now. Yeah. You know, we haven't seen in North Carolina, you know, some other metro areas around the country that have housing markets like this, but it's been quite a thing. And I've said this just about every time that we've talked. What has always been true is if you are at low income, it is damn near impossible in this country to find a house that is affordable, given what you're making. What the challenge is for North Carolina right now, and why this is so much on everyone's radar, is that difficulty is creeping further and further up into the middle income ranges, which, to be honest, just exposes, it reveals the underlying challenge all along. When we talk about affordable housing, when folks have in their mind is low income housing, what we mean is no, affordable for everyone. If you're making a wage, you should be able to find housing that is affordable at that wage. And more folks who understood themselves as not being impacted by a lack of affordability realized that, no, it's their problem.
This is America, the home of the free market. Why doesn't the genius of the free market just solve this problem by increasing supply and producing more affordable housing? What's the problem?
Supply is a factor, right? And I think that I live in the Triangle. I live in Durham. And you see the announcements about the jobs that are coming. People are moving here right now. And we're not really building at that kind of pace. So there's a supply element to this, and especially in growing urban counties and the suburban counties surrounding them, there's land use decisions that are at the heart of this, right? Like, we've built our neighborhoods and our cities and our towns in particular ways, and it's not like you flip that overnight, right? If you have an area zoned for a third of an acre, single family only, right? It's not like within a year you can completely shift that to more dense. But what is absolutely true is if you're growing, you can grow up or you can grow out, right? It's a geometry problem. So the supply piece is absolutely true. And some of the things that we've seen during the pandemic in terms of rising costs, those construction costs have been just mind-boggling and and blowing beyond anything that we would think in terms of normal sort of inflationary pressures, right? There have been specific, whether it was lumber tariffs that increased the cost of lumber, whether it was the supply chain issues, the story around labor and the growing age in the trades, average age of folks in the trades, and the lack of folks doing the work, right? I think if you talk to anyone trying to do long-term disaster recovery from Florence and Matthew down east, trying to find folks who would do the work even when the money is available to get the work done is really hard right now. And that is all part of this mix. In addition to what is this kind of basic inequality, right? Where we have jobs where you can work 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week and still not be able to afford an average two-bedroom apartment in a given area.
there actually has been some progress. There was a National Association of Realtors report that showed that 2020, there was a big bump in home ownership, but it seems constantly to be that people of color tend to be isolated or insulated from this growth in home ownership. It seems that white families have a lot more success in becoming home buyers than people in racial minorities. I trust that's a problem you see here in North Carolina.
Yeah, and there's a history of that, right? I mean, home ownership is primary way that low and moderate income families have built wealth over the last three quarters of a century in this country and plus. And that growth, that equity building is a slow drip. And that's something that you can then pass on to next generation. And when that explosion in home ownership in our country happened really end of World War II, in the aftermath of World War II, where our national home ownership rate went from 45% all the way up to where we're at in the mid 60s, where it hovers up and down. But that growth was among white homeowners. And so when you see folks accessing those benefits, the folks last in are usually the first ones out whenever there's a fluctuation in the market. And so what we're seeing now, I mean, especially in Durham, nothing's for sale right now. There's nothing on the market. And the cost of entry to home ownership right now is just, it's out of reach. It is out of reach for first-time home buyers, unless you've got parents coming in with help on a down payment, whether you've got some kind of outside support, right? And because of our history, there's a racial element to that as well.
We're talking with Samuel Gunter, who's the executive director of the North Carolina Housing Coalition, about some of the challenges, enormous challenges that face our housing market these days with the lack of affordable housing. There has been some efforts in Washington and Raleigh to do something about this. We had some aid that flowed to the state in the form of pandemic relief. We've got a proposal for something called the Lifeline Act. That's actually a bipartisan proposal in Congress that would allow states and localities to use federal recovery funds to make long-term loans, as I understand it. Talk to us about the efforts to do something about some of these problems in the policy world.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, we stood up emergency rental assistance, right? And that was a lot of kind of early pandemic, making sure folks were able to stay in their homes, right? With this sense, if you need to shelter in place, you got to have a place to shelter in. It was a public health priority to make sure folks were in their homes. And so we spooled up emergency rental assistance. We had some bumps along the way because we don't have an infrastructure in this state that is already set up to be able to do a program like that, right? So there was a lot of learning that happened in the first couple of months of emergency rental assistance. But we reached the end. We have blown through all of that. And right now, the homeowner assistance program for folks who are homeowners and were having trouble paying their mortgages, that has now spooled up and is operating through the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency. But one of the ways that the pandemic impacted affordable housing production, the biggest tool in our toolbox nationally is the low-income housing tax credit for producing new units that are affordable to folks at lower incomes, right? Like I said, the pandemic impacted construction costs in a very significant way. Now, in the market, if you're developing something and all of a sudden steel or wood or whatever costs you more, then you raise rents, right? That's how you make up for lost revenue. This program, however, is designed to keep rents low. And so when construction costs went up, all of a sudden you were seeing massive gaps in financing for these deals for the last 2 years of awarded deals. The General Assembly made the decision during the budgeting process to allocate $170 million of the state and local fiscal recovery funds that were part of the American Rescue Plan to backfill those deals, to make sure that we didn't lose 2 years worth and potentially 3 years worth of production because of those cost overruns. The challenge is the American Rescue Plan came with a hard stop date of 2026. And the way that we make this work is making loans. And so we needed a fix nationally to allow for those loans to extend to beyond 2026. What we tried to get that in the omnibus spending package that just passed, we were unsuccessful in doing so, but we have a bill now filed. It is HR 7078, the Lifeline Act, and it is filed by two North Carolinians taking a national leadership role in this, Representative Alma Adams and Representative David Rauser. And there was a bipartisan support for it on both the Senate and the House side. I think that part of the reason that it didn't work is some hesitancy to fix problems with the American Rescue Plan that may otherwise be a a talking point. But we're, I think, in a good spot. What we need now are co-sponsors. And historically, North Carolina's congressional delegation has been very supportive of measures that support the low-income housing tax credit and affordable housing production. And we're looking forward to hopefully getting most of our delegation on as co-sponsors.
Keep our fingers crossed on that front. As we come to the end of our time with Samuel Gunter, who's the executive director of the North Carolina Housing Coalition, I want to ask you about other ways to tackle some of these affordable housing problems. We see that in Durham. I know Durham Tech has announced a plan to build more affordable housing near its campus. And Amazon recently announced it would spend $120 million to build affordable housing units near transit stations in Seattle and Washington to address it. Is there a role for the private sector and for institutions of higher education, for instance, to get involved in solving the housing problem? Or are these just fiddling around the edges? Is it still ultimately going to be up to the federal and state government to take care of this challenge?
I think that when we come to the challenges that we have around housing, there is no silver bullet, right? And so I think often sometimes we ask, well, what's the big fix? And it doesn't cost us any money, which is not the way to go about this because housing costs money. But I will say that efforts from the private sector, that all of these things are necessary, right? Because they're all interacting. But there are a couple of things that I would say are at the core of this. One, if you're not addressing your land use policies, you're missing the boat. Because if you're not doing the work on your land use to set the table for the type of community where folks who work there can live there in an affordable way, right? You're missing the boat because any other intervention is just gonna be really around the edges. So if you're not reckoning with your land use, especially if you're a growing community, you're missing the game entirely. The reality of low income wages in our country is such that, again, at no point anywhere in this country can you work a full-time job making minimum wage and afford to live. It's just not possible. The numbers do not work. It's not a personal choice. It's not someone made a bad decision. The math just does not add up. And so if you are going to have housing, if you're going to have jobs in an area that aren't going to pay a living wage, it is going to cost you to make sure, as a community, to make sure that folks have a place to live. And so money is another key piece of this. And we've seen communities around the state, like Charlotte, for instance, that put public money and then put out a challenge for the private sector, for philanthropy, to also put up money as well. That is a model that I think is critical for folks to follow, because especially as we see with Durham Tech, Amazon, others, making sure that anchor institutions within a community are part of that solution is critical. Again, setting that table to make sure that we have an inclusive and affordable community where folks who work there can also live there.
Samuel Gunter is the executive director of the North Carolina Housing Coalition. As you can tell from the remarks he's shared with us here, he's one of the most insightful and best spoken advocates for progress in our state. We're so lucky to have him doing his fine work. Samuel, how can folks learn more about the Housing Coalition, perhaps help your efforts?
Yeah, you can find us on the web at nchousing.org. And I would encourage you to sign up and join this movement. We are working to build these kind of communities and get the policies we need at the local level, at the state level, at the federal level. If you want to be an advocate, go to our website and join the coalition and you will learn more about us.
nchousing.org, the North Carolina Housing Coalition. Thanks, Samuel Gunter, very much for being with us. We'll talk to you again later in 2022.
Thanks. It's good as always, Rob.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Remember, you can check us out online and subscribe for free to some of our state's best news coverage and political commentary at ncpolicywatch.com. You can also listen to all of our interviews and commentaries on Apple Podcasts. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.